thank you so much once again for being here this morning. I'm super excited to be here. My name is Josh Treviño. I'm one of the members here. It's been a while. It's been a while since I got up here and got the privilege to preach on a Sunday morning, but I am super, super excited. I've been excited all week. I got to be really honest, though. I do feel a little nervous, and I put on this mic, and it just feels weird. I don't know if it looks as weird as it feels. I just feel like there's this thing orbiting around my face. I wish I could just come up here and just be like, boom. I mean, it's weird. It is. I was just telling somebody before the service, too, that I think it was last week during announcements, or it might have been at the VBS. I was up here, and I had the mic, and I had papers, because I was reading announcements or telling them to come back, and I just have this habit of doing this, like licking my fingers to flip the things, but I was just holding everything. And I don't know what went through my brain, but as I was licking, I just licked the mic. I did. I wish we recorded these. Well, there's a camera. Do we record these? We don't, right? I felt so dumb. And I just kept going like it was like meant to be. Like, yeah, so come back and join us. But I'm sure everybody was thinking, why did that guy just lick the microphone? It's like, hey, guys, come to our church. And I think it's a kid's thing, too. So sorry. I'm nervous. Maybe I should have ended with that illustration, not the beginning of my sermon. But I do have the privilege to be here this morning. We're going through, I wouldn't call it a series, but we're like last week Tommy spoke, next week also. We're hitting these topics of measures of a passionate disciple. And it is my privilege today to talk about God's giftings and how he has gifted the church. So I'd like to pray, and if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be at. We'll read a couple of other verses, really, but we're just going to camp out in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And I will actually read it first, and then we'll get right into prayer, and we'll begin. So let's read that together. If you have your Bibles open, it'll be on the screens as well. Romans 12, 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray, and then we will try to unpack all of that truth. So, Father, we just want to, as we have been praying throughout the week, this morning, even right before the service, we just want to proclaim, admit our need of you. It has to be. This is your word. I pray that you just reveal it in our hearts. God, I pray that this scripture comes alive in our lives today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. So like I mentioned, if you have an insert there in your bulletin as well, if we would title this sermon, it would be Gospel, Gifts, and Growth. And really, we're going to be in Romans 12. We're going to take it in that order. Let me just jump ahead a little bit first and just say we are all good at something. Amen? Do you recognize you're good at something? Is there something in your life that you're just like killing it at? It could be like administration or mercy or love or leadership, but you just know there is something in your life that you're come on, can we admit that? You're pretty good, right? I mean, you also recognize that you're not good at some things as well, right? I think even like, God just wired us that way, and I know that in my life there are things I am not good at. I have a small list. My wife has a larger list, so you can ask her all the things that I'm missing it on, all the things that, like, yeah, stay away from those things. But I know there's some things that I think God just wired me to do. And I think in my life I've seen patterns of, zeal and leadership, where I've walked into situations where there was, when I was a kid in karate class to school to later when I was a youth leader. Like, just leadership. I show up. This is what we're going to do. I love to exhort. I love to motivate. I just find these things helpful to do. I just find these things natural to do in my life. All that to say, I've not always used them correctly. I'll give you one example. I'm a motivator. I exhort people. Once when I was leading youth, I got a group of guys, and we lived right in the border town of Mexico. I said, let's go to Mexico, and let's go to the mountains. Let's just drive to Monterrey. There's some awesome mountains there. Let's just go. And everybody's like, well, I don't know. Like, we'll see. No. Let's just go, guys. Come on. We can do this. Let's go conquer this. So they're like, all right, let's go. Sure. So we got in a car. We drove like 7 hours down. We stayed with a family member that had a cabin there. And then we drove some more into the mountains. And then we finally got to this mountain. I had heard that there was a waterfall up there. So I'm like, guys, we got to go see the waterfall. Let's go. And everybody's like, well, come on, let's do this. So like, all right, you're the leader. Let's go. So we just take off hiking. We just start hiking. No water. We didn't have a planner in the group, right? And if we did, I just took over. I was like, this is what we're going to do. So about 2 hours in, no sign of waterfall, no sign of any water. And we're just hiking. It's hot. And there's two guys that are just like, Josh, we're out. We're walking back. Well, we can't keep going. So I'm like, go ahead. All right, walk back. But I'm going, and these guys are going with me, right? And they're like, some guys kept going with me. Two guys, the smart guys of the group, they're like, we're out. We're done. And they knew they had to walk 2 hours back because we're already 2 hours in with no water. And they got back. Later on, I heard that they got back. And they had rained earlier. There was like little puddles of water. They were like licking the water on the floor. It was bad. We finally kept going. There was no waterfall, guys. There was no waterfall. There was like a little stream, like a rock with like a little water coming out. We just stuck our faces on that thing. We drank, and we made it back. It was dark by the time we got back. It was so funny. One of the guys that came back with me, young guy, he's like 17 years old. We just barely made it back. And so I come back up. I'm like, yeah, that was amazing, guys. That was great. He didn't even say a word. Everybody was worried. They were about to send search parties out. He went in. There was our car that we had parked there. He got in his car. He closed the door, and he just started crying. Just not the best time of his life. So anyway, I say all that because what got everybody to do that dumb, crazy trip was my motivation. Was my zeal, was my passion. So I got to recognize that whatever you're gifted in, the way God has wired you, it has a purpose. And it needs to be aligned with God. And when I started aligning my giftings with Jesus and his purpose, it works. It's great, and it brings him glory. I just want you to know that there's a way to not use them correctly. And as we get into Romans 12, before he even starts talking about the gifts and how we should use them, and there's this one, and there's this one, and you should use it this way, there is a whole preface of just the foundation of all that, and that is the gospel. We lay out a foundation, and then we start talking about the gifts. Before I get you all, I like to motivate. So what I don't want this sermon to be is just one of like, let's serve, sign up, we're going to have tables in the back, and really, there's plenty of places to sign up at our church, but I don't want to just zeal, motivate, go, sign up, because if it's not done right with the foundation of the gospel, it won't last. You might be like that person in the mountain that says, I'm done, that's 2 hours in, and says, why am I doing this? You would have every right to just say, look, I'm just here either out of guilt, or I was just persuaded, or I was just so hyped up that I did it. But you need the foundation of the gospel. And that's what we're going to look at. That's what we're going to start with. So let's go to Romans 12. We'll take verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I got a little history with this verse. I used to not like this verse. It's like the perfect guilt verse. And this is the way that it was thrown around when I was early in church and I was kind of coming up with these young guys and we're just getting together. This was the verse that everybody had in his card when if you weren't living right or if you didn't show up to a meeting or if you weren't doing all that you could do, this is the verse that was thrown out. Like, come on, let's go back to this. I appeal to you. First of all, Nobody likes to be appealed to. If somebody's appealing you to do something, you probably should have done it already, right? It's not like they're just asking you for something. Nobody appeals that you bring them a glass of water. It's like, I appeal to you for a glass of water. It's like, dude, take it easy. Just ask for a glass of water. I'll bring you a glass of water. But if you start a conversation or an ask of somebody saying, I appeal to you, you're already thinking, like, oh, brother. Like, it's going to be big, or I should have been doing this already. There's already sort of like a sense of guilt. At least there was for me. Just the wording, by the mercies of God, and there's the guilt. Like, Jesus died for you, man. You can't come to a meeting? Really? Like Jesus went to the cross. You can't wake up at 6 and show up for a prayer meeting? And it's just like, oh, this verse, there's just no going against it. It's like, I appeal to you, Jesus died for you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's not fun to anybody. That's just like, oh, man, this just gets heavier and heavier. And then this, holy and acceptable to God. So I'm just like, okay, I'm out. I can't do that. How am I going to present my body as holy and acceptable to God? I know what I did last week. I know what I did yesterday, whatever the thoughts I had this morning. Like, this is just a heavy, heavy scripture. But it was taken out of context. It was just thrown around. It's like, oh, hey, you didn't do something. You didn't show up to a meeting. You didn't do something. Bam, Romans 12:1. This is why you should be doing this. And I want to present it the same way today. And the reason I kind of tell that background is because as you think of yourself as a servant in the church, don't do it just because of this verse. Don't do it because, hey, guys, we need help with the kids ministry. Who wants to sign up? Well, I don't know. Jesus died for you. Okay, I guess I could show up and do that. You know, he went to the cross, man. And I remember there was this verse, or not this verse, this saying. And it's actually a really cool saying, a quote. I don't even know who said it, but we put it in the back of a brochure, and it was always thrown around. And I'm not knocking who said it, because I don't even know who said it. I just remember the quote, and it just stuck so much. And it was this: are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? And it actually, it's a really good quote. But in the context that we were using it, it isn't that like the most condemning thing ever? Like, no. I went to the movies today. I just kind of hung out with my friends. I had life. Is that worth Christ dying for? Like, no, but what is? Like, how do I live life that way? This verse was used in that same context of, like, serve, be, do, because of guilt or pressure or just misguided zeal. And I kind of want to take it all back through Romans. The way this verse is laid out with the foundation of the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with the verse. The verse is perfect. But taken in context, I appeal to you. Yeah, there's an appeal. Therefore. See, what Paul is doing is he's laying a whole foundation. He is laying a whole foundation in on the letter of Romans of the gospel. If you understand the gospel, if you live the gospel, if it really sits in you, then yeah. Therefore, I appeal to you to do these things, to live this way. And we're later going to get into using your gifts. And I know we're familiar with the gospel, but I got to say, and I'll bring this up a little bit later as well, we always have to remind ourselves of the gospel. It's not a one-time class that you take and then you move on, because you're going to be like that guy in that mountain that is like, okay, fine, I got this. 2 hours in, you're out. In order to serve, to live as a Christian, to function in the body, it's about the gospel. So when Paul brings this up here in Romans 12, he has spent a significant amount of time in this letter explaining the gospel. And we're just going to pick out some verses to just kind of remind us of these mercies of God. So if we look at Romans 3, 21 through 24. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's heavy. That kind of packs it all in. We have the righteousness of God. Let's start there. Before you start serving, before you start doing, before you start being, know that. That needs to land. you have the righteousness of God. Not something you earn later by serving, not something you earn by being a member and being here and building people up and boom, 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 that you're going to one day be able to accredit yourself the righteousness. You have that now through faith in Christ Jesus. When that lands, that changes you. When that lands, you're a new creation. Not a better version of yourself, a completely new creation. And that's the one who serves. That's the one who gives. Not the Josh that, you know, I used to call it Josh 2.0. You know, the latest version, you know, the upgrade. The one that maybe doesn't cuss anymore, doesn't drink as much, doesn't get all unruly and has no lust. Like, this is a better version of myself. God doesn't want that better version of yourself. You're a new creation completely. You're the righteousness of God. That's heavy, guys. That's not one first step that we should just kind of, okay, cool, what else you got? Like, where else do I serve? What else do I in church? Let's live there always, that God looks at you and he sees his righteousness. Now, that does not blow you away. I pray that you just sit there for a little bit longer and just be like, what? That should be your response. What? Think about yesterday. Think about last week. Think about this morning. Think about the mess that you're in, that you've created, the mess in your mind, how you feel. Just God still looks at you, and through Jesus Christ, he sees his righteousness. The law and the prophets, they point to it, but now it's made possible by Jesus. That's the gospel. It is, we are justified by his grace as a gift. You didn't earn any of this. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in your insert, if you're taking notes, that's the first blank right there. Through Jesus, you had death coming, but you got grace. And that's it. That's everything. That's why we gather. That's why we're going to have communion later. That's why we worship. That's why we sing those songs, because of the gospel. You are a new creation. This is the fuel that keeps us going. As we preach through the gifts, and we're going to be taking some time, like I said in the beginning, that we're going to be talking about the marks of a faithful disciple, of a passionate disciple. It all starts with the gospel. That we deserve death, but we have grace. And that is the fuel. We are now these living sacrifices. This means that we are alive from the dead since we enjoy a new life in Christ. That's awesome. That's what living sacrifice means in Romans 12. Not one of like, I have to sacrifice every day. Is that you are a living sacrifice. You're already doing it. It's done. It is finished. You are the righteousness of God. You don't have to earn anything. You guys get that? That's it. We are free to serve. We are free to give because it's done. That this verse, when I first heard it, it was one of guilt of like, man, you're not there yet. Like really? You're not going to do these things? How are you going to present yourself holy and acceptable? Through Jesus Christ. And it's done. It's, I don't have to do anything else. God looks at me and he sees me as holy and acceptable. Does he see you that way? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? Isn't that just like, isn't that fuel for what we do? And you know, there's another great verse that says that it's, you know, his kindness is what leads us to repentance. It's dwelling in verses like these that are just like, man, like holy and acceptable. Instead of using that verse for condemnation and guilt, it's one that brings freedom and joy. Like, man, I can present myself that way because of Jesus. And we start there. We start with the gospel. And this is the appeal. And I think this is why Paul would use this wording. I appeal to you, brothers. I plead with you guys that you get this first. Before you start acting all godly, before you start serving at church, before you start forming communities and build this thing as a church, it is important that you start here. I appeal to you, because it's a real easy step to bypass. And he'll kind of go into this in these other verses. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Sometimes this verse was also kind of used as a little guilt verse of like, hey, do not be conformed to this world. Like, hey, I kind of went and did this, and I saw this movie, or I did this. Oh, that's the world. You're being conformed to this world. Really, in Romans, he talks about what this means, the way the world thinks. So point number two there, do not think like the rest of the world. Do not be conformed to the way this world thinks, the pattern of this world. And he brings these things up in Romans chapter 1. And we don't have to literally dissect the whole thing, but God specifically points out some things in Romans 1 of how this world thinks. One is this, that we worship the creation rather than the creator. Isn't that the way, this is the way the world thinks. They search the gifts more than the giver. They're after their hearts, their lives, their sacrifice is about what I could attain. These, and I'm not saying they're evil gifts, they're actually good gifts, whether it be family or jobs or just the things that we desire. Those are our desires. Those are the things that we seek, whether it be career or family. And we are all about that, but at the end of the day, that's what we're all about. And God says, do not be conformed to the way the world thinks of searching and seeking these things out, but seek the creator, the giver. Another thing he brings up in chapter 1 is that we believe the lie over the truth of God. And that could probably lean into we're smarter than God. We just like, okay, maybe that worked for them back in the day, but in our culture, in our society, we're a little smarter than that. We got this figured out, God. And we believe the lie instead of the truth, the Word of God. Suddenly, the Word of God is not as important, is not as real, is not as, you know, it's not a staple in our lives. It's the Word of God. Now, suggestions, it's good. It's a good guide, even. We'll kind of take it into account, but we'll believe the lie over the truth. Do not be conformed to this world. And we fail to acknowledge him. And that's huge. And that will play into how he starts going into, and as we're talking about the gifts, we should not in any way walk with any pride or with any swagger. We just shouldn't. So I started talking a little bit about the things that you're good at. Maybe you've thought of some of those things. And guys, you are good at those things. I'm sure you're killing it in those things. There are some of you guys here that are just so well organized. I respect that. The worship team, their ability that comes out of here, and they've maybe perfected, they've practiced it, they've done it, but all of our giftings are from God. Every good gift comes from God. Amen? It's all from him. And so if you fail to acknowledge him, you start walking in this pride. You start walking in this, I did this. I'm good. And that is a real danger zone. I have to admit, it's easy for me to live there. It really is. So I have this leadership thing. So I have this zeal. So I have this thing and really I could just talk myself into anything. If I need a cheerleader, I just need a mirror. And that's it. I'll like, man, you're awesome. You're the best. Look at you. Yeah, you got this. I'll recall all these cool things that happened in my life that I did and that I accomplished. And it's funny, my parents are here today, and they did a great job raising me. My mom is a fantastic mom. But one of the things she did is she's fine. And I've said this before in front of her. Maybe erred in the sight of affirmation. And I'll use that. It's lovely. It's great. But in her eyes, I am the best. Like mijito, like son in Spanish, like you are awesome. You are the very best. Like, and that's great. Hey, that's great parenting. But I just kind of took that as like the Bible. I am the best. Through those mom goggles. I started seeing through those mom goggles of like, there's nothing I can do. So my confidence wasn't really in the word. It was like, I am the best. Of course I'm the best. I'm like the smartest person in the room. My mom said so. I just believed it. And that's great. I'm not complaining. I mean, that's great. It got me to do a lot of things I probably wouldn't have not done. But I could see the danger in that. That now I kind of start to walk with my own accomplishments, my own swagger, if you will. Not acknowledging him. Any good thing that I have came from God. Any good thing that I have leading or doing anything good came from God. It should always point to him. And there's great businessmen, there's great worshipers, there's great admin people, there's great mercy people. They should all point to Jesus. When we fail to acknowledge him, this is when we start thinking like the world. We did this. I love that it says in that same verse, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And again, I said in the beginning of the sermon too, preaching the gospel to ourselves is always something we need to keep doing. This is what renews the mind. If we don't, we'll start thinking we accomplished it. We've earned this. Anything good in our life starts happening. God starts working in our lives. Well, I've earned this. I did this. The gospel says that you bring nothing good to the table, and he brought everything good. That your righteousness is like dirty rags. And this is what the renewal of our mind is. You consistently need to preach the gospel to yourself. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what I'm going through right now. I mean, there's some things in my family's life that are happening right now that God is taking us through some pretty serious transitions in my life. That there's a little bit of there's a lot of uncertainty in my life right now. Of just like, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? There's a lot, and I'm just going to be really honest with you guys. Some days are great. Some days I just feel the faith, and I'm like, God, I thank you for this. This is going to be good. I just cannot wait. Days, I had it like yesterday. I'm just like, bruh. I just wake up, and everything's like slow. What's wrong with me? And I just can't get excited about it, and these things happen. And then I just start going slower into this pit of just like despair, like, oh my gosh, like, we're ruined. Like, this is bad. It's never been this bad before. Like, what did I do that was so wrong? And it just, like, boom, like dominoes just start to fall and fall. And this is why this verse is important for everybody. For me, preach the gospel to yourself. Like, yeah, these things happened. Yeah, you're in this place. And that's why these songs that we just sang, awesome. Oh, I love, this is why we come together to worship Jesus. This is us preaching the gospel to ourselves. This is us renewing our mind that God is for us and not against us, that he's holding on to us, that he's not going to let us go, that he will always be there. Amen? And we renew our minds. And this is something that you start doing this, you start bringing glory to God. You start getting all of your problems, saying, God, you are bigger. God, you are good. You're still here. You're not gone. You're not afraid. I shouldn't be either. All of these things, as we were preaching, as we were renewing our mind, give glory to God. I know there's this story in the Bible of David, and David is an amazing hero of the Bible, right? But really, he's so messed up of a person, too. And in one of his situations, I can't remember, I want to say Ziklag, but I don't think it is, but there's a situation where God is for him, and God, he's already obeying God in these great things. This is David as a man, not so much as a boy with Goliath, and he's leading these guys, and Saul's against him, and all these things are coming, and he really hears from the Lord to gather this army, and they're kind of like retreating a little bit because the other army's against them, and God's giving them a little bit of victories. And but there's this position, there's this time where the opposing army comes and steals all of their wives and all of their daughters. And they flee in the night. And so all of these men wake up in that army, and they look to David and say, you let this happen. And then this is his people. These are his guys. And then there's plans that they're going to kill him. They're going to throw rocks and stone him and just kill him. And I don't blame these guys. I think, like, man, look at these guys, complainers. Their wives and daughters were just taking from them. This is a real situation. This ain't like, I don't like your leadership. This is bad. And so David goes, and the word says that he encourages himself in the Lord. And that's key. That's there for a reason. There are things in our life right now that are bad. They're not, well, it's just kind of like, oh, I'll just get through it. No. Hey, look, situation, analysis, it's bad. But here's your job. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Renew your mind. Keep doing that. Okay, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. That was point 3, by the way. Preach to yourself if you're in the insert. Verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And that kind of goes back to something that I've already been saying. This needs to be here as well, and that goes against our pride. That goes against our swagger. That the only reason you have those giftings is because of grace. It's because now he's going to start leaning into these giftings. He's going to start talking about what you're good at. What are you going to start using? And you really need to know that it's really because of him and not you. It's the grace that we have. We're not allowed to walk with any swagger. And then he makes it a really clear point, too, that God has granted us different measures of faith to his children and to really assess ourselves realistically. Have you guys ever thought you had a gift that you didn't? Hopefully you have somebody in your life that says, no, don't. Hey, you know what? And I was thinking about this morning. To my mom's credit, I do remember in fourth grade her saying, you can't sing. Really, I do. I was in choir, you know, so we all stand up and all the kids are like, we're doing like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and stuff like that. And I was pretty good. But, you know, I thought I was good. It was fun. It was great. And I do remember my mom just kind of pulling me aside. And really, I remember it so well just because I thought it was so weird because everything, I'm awesome, man. I'm the best at everything. Why not this? And I do remember her saying, like, yeah, you can't sing. It was just such a really, like, no, I'm the best. Like, no, yeah, you just can't sing. And it really stuck with me. And it's good that I preach. I just get to empty out all my, this is therapy, God. This is what it really is. It shouldn't be, but it is. Anyway, just give me a minute. No, just kidding. I know I can't sing. I'm good with that. And actually, I have no rhythm. I think I've shared this before, too. I think I lasted in the worship team at the church I used to serve for like 2 weeks. They kicked me out fast. You know what instrument I played? And this is not a joke. This is for real. The cowbell. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not lying. I could not, and it's not like, I know that there's something you call like the whole setup, because it's not just a cowbell. You have the percussions. Yeah, it looks cool, you know, because you have all this stuff to play with. You have these like bars that you go like, I've always wanted to do that, you know, like, just, yeah, this is a good moment for it. So they had all that, but they didn't let me touch anything. They gave me one stick and just keep a beat. That's all you had to do. Well, I was throwing off the whole worship team that I lasted 2 weeks, and they got me off the stage. We don't have all the gifts. We don't. It helps that you have people in your community, honest people around you, people that love you, that tell you, that affirm what you're good at and what you're not good at. And we got to listen to those things. We can't live our life with mom goggles, if you will, and just be like, I am good at everything. God designed you for a specific purpose. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Number 4 there in your notes, it says, do not compare yourself with others. Don't do it. You're different. You have great gifts. God designed you. You're his creation, wonderfully made. You're just awesome that way. But do not compare yourself with others. I'd also like to state, do not compare yourself with others' growth as well. And this was a real stumbling block for me as I came to Christ. And there were some guys around me that they were just killing it in prayer meetings. They had a real passion. They were in the Word. They were memorizing Scripture so much faster than I they were just like, boom, boom. And my mistake there was like, I should be where they're at. You have your journey, guys. God will take you through some things, and it might look different than other people's. So what you don't want to do is see all these benchmarks that these other people are doing or where they're serving and where they're really just killing it. They're just knocking it out of the park, the way they share, the way they get insight. They'll read something from the Bible, and they'll just be like, boom, truth. Or they'll just get it. They'll just sing a certain way. They'll just play the guitar a certain way. You'll just see them in their element, and you'll say, oh my gosh, I am less than because I'm not there. Just remove that. God gave you a gift thing. Just use that and don't worry about everybody else. You have a specific function in the body. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here's what I will say, that this, you have your own gifting, but it does matter to others because we are of one body. Like, for my nose to be the best nose that it can be. It's a weird body part, I know. I'm sorry. I need my hands help. Right? Because it needs a hand to help it blow. Weird analogies. I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm going with this. But listen, if I had no other members and it was just that, the nose would suffer, even though it's a great nose. Well, it's not. All right. I'm just saying, I'm not bragging on my nose. I'm just saying any body part left alone, it lacks. Left alone, it will, even though in itself it's great, I'm doing my job, but I need the other body parts to really get me to where I need to go. And it's the same in the body. I am waiting on some of your gifts to help my gift. You are waiting on some of my gifts to help your gift. It is, I just want to say it, selfish of you to just keep your gift. And now this ain't just for your own growth. This is for my growth. It's for my family's growth. I need your gifts. You need my gifts. So coming to church is not an individualistic activity where you can just kind of plug in and plug out and just be like, I'm good. And I'm not just talking about a Sunday morning service. I'm just talking about in the body of Christ, who you are to other Christians, who you are in your family, who you are at work, who you are everywhere. I'm not just talking about who's serving as ushers and greeters, although that definitely plays a part. I'm talking about who you are as a member in the body of Christ. And hopefully that shakes you up enough to like, hey, I need to step up. And the reason you're stepping up is because of the mercies of God. Not any other reason, but the mercy. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. Verse 6, and we're going to just go 6, 7, and 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. This is the exhortation. Let us use them. We've acknowledged that it's the gospel. We acknowledge that it's because of Jesus that we're going to give all acknowledgement to him, that we're not going to think ourselves more highly than we ought, that we're not going to compare ourselves to others. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, to the one who contributes in generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So which one do you have? And this ain't for me to decide right now and everything, but it would be, and that's another important reason why you're part of a church, why you're involved in life with a group of people, of believers that could affirm this in you. How many of you guys have been affirmed by one of your gifts? You know, and we're not looking for compliments. We're just like, hey man, that really blessed me. Like, all the glory goes to God, but that did bless me. That was awesome. That was exciting what you did there, and it's great. And we have to be just open to that. If you're just alone, it'll be really hard for you to really know how your gifts function, because really, they're there to bless others. They're not really so much there to bless yourself. So if you're not involved, if you're not a part, if you don't have people around you, then it's going to be really hard and even dangerous for you to start walking out this gifting when there's nobody there, one to affirm, some to deny, both to bless, to give. So we talked about gospel, we talked about some about gifts, and this is just an intro, really, just a preface. There's a way, many more gifts that the Bible talks about. They should be talked about, studied, walked out, tried out. But I really wanted to start with the gospel, but I do want to touch a little bit also about growth. This is the way that we grow. So this is not an appeal so much to recruit volunteers. This is not an appeal to build up a ministry that we lack in right now, like ushers or greeters. Point 5 there in your insert says, the people, comma, the body, need you to use your gifts. We are waiting on that. And that leads to growth. You want to fill it in already? Point 6 would say this: give freely. There's a dynamic that happens, the way that God wired this, that growth comes through giving. And so he's given you this gift. He's wired you a certain way. And I confidently would say that if you're like, well, that's not really for me, or that's just, I'm just going to use it for myself, or, well, I'm just not even going to birth it out, I'm not going to start. Not only do I suffer because I need your gifts, I need you for you to walk in your gifts, but you will limit your growth. Now, in the church where I used to serve, there'd be countless times where people would come up to me and say, hey, look, I'm just not being fed anymore. I've heard all the songs. And I really believe that you stay at a church for a certain amount of time, eventually you'll kind of start hearing the same stories. I mean, the pastor only has one life, right? I mean, you let me talk here all the time. Basically, you'll start saying, oh, he's going to talk about his mom again. I got his mom issues or something. Because here's that story again or something like that. But it's like, okay, there's that story. Okay, there's that story. And some people would come up to me and be like, okay, like, we've got the stories. We got this. And I've heard this sermon before. It's a different variation. Okay, I got this. I've been here for a while. The songs, I know the songs are all the same. It's always these songs. And they would come and just say, like, I've kind of tapped out. I just feel like I'm not growing anymore. My first response is, stuff like that, out of concern, really, and not just to, like, travel, I would say, where are you serving? And, like, 80% of the time, 90% of the time, it was like, oh, I'm not serving anywhere right now, and that's the problem. See, I'm not trying to recruit to grow a ministry. I'm thinking about that person. Growth comes through serving. Growth comes through using your gift. I love Proverbs 11, 24, and 25, and this is just one of many scriptures that talks about this idea. Proverbs 11, 24, and 25 say this: one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Verse 25, whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered. See, I want to be refreshed. I want to be watered by God. I want something new. I want something fresh. I want insight. I want God to just bless me. I want to be enriched. And this is just the way God operates. There is no, you can't circumvent this truth in the Bible. If you want to be blessed, you got to be a blessing. If you want to grow, you need to invest in other people. You need to start using that gifting. He who waters will himself be watered. You want to tap out? You want to stunt your growth? You just stop serving. Don't serve. Just make it all about me, what I'm going to receive, this Bible study, this thing, give me another Bible study, give me another Bible study, give me this type of song, give me this type of experience, this is what I want out of a church, this is what, it's just really about me, and you don't have and those things are good things, I'm not saying those are just like, you're focusing on, those are great things, but you need a venue to give freely. That just needs to be part of your walk as a Christian for growth to happen. He who waters will himself be watered. And this is God prepping us to become one body, one good body, the body of Christ, his church. And he knows it starts with the gospel. It starts what he's done. It starts with how we see him, how we see ourselves. That he, through the cross, through Jesus, has given us all. And we start there? Man, watch out. Because we have the righteousness of God. And we are a different people. It's amazing. I'm going to ask the band if they could come up here. And I just want to challenge you to, and I know it's sort of cliche-ish to start with the gospel. It's all about the gospel. And it is, of course. And it'll always be at the front. But it just really challenges you, like, do I believe the gospel? I mean, am I living that out? Do I see the righteousness of God? Like, am I doing that? One of the things that I feel like as a church, we don't do that is when we cease to be transparent. When we cease to be real. And really, if we just go back to the gospel, we know that God gave his life for broken people. There is no distinction. I don't care if you grew up in church or you just had the worst life ever. There is no distinction. We all need. We're all broken. And I feel like when we kind of like, oh, I'm done with that. Now I'm good. Now I'm cleaned up. And we all still need the gospel. It's an everyday thing. So this morning, I'd just like to pray. Let's just spend some time right there. And just say, God, just I need it today as I needed it a year ago. Some of us have been saved for 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, 2 weeks. We all still need it the same. It still needs to be a truth in our lives. There is no, I'm good. I'm fine. Like, what's going on in your life? I'm good. Nobody's good. There is no distinction. We're all broken, and we have a good God, and it's His righteousness. So let's just land there. You guys can just bow your heads. Let's just pray.